Okay, Mr. Wakefield, here we are right at the ramp.
Fine. Let me get my breath.
David, I'll just sit here in the car with Dad until he's ready to get out.
Fine. You know, you ought to feel pretty good, sir, hearing that applause when you drove in.
I do, David. Very good.
Your chair's ready when you give the word, sir.
David, I've been looking everywhere for you.
Oh, I'm coming, Faye. I'll be back in a minute.
I see you've got Mr. Wakefield in the car.
That's right.
I'm just dying to hear his speech.
Yes, so am I.
What's with you? Yesterday, you didn't even think he should make it.
Well, he and Kate seem happy about something. I couldn't get a word in edgewise.
I know what he's going to say. I was the one he gave a copy to, remember? Maybe now you and Henry Slater will let me run.
Yeah, look. Let the story happen first before you report it, Faye, okay? Now, just listen to the speech first.
Right. I'll be in the front row with a camera.
Yeah, well, don't rattle him with a picture taking, Faye.
You want me to turn off my tape recorder, too?
I just want you to remember that he's an old man and he's not very well.
You're just all heart, David. Oh, where are you going to be?
Yeah, I'll join you later.
Don't be surprised. I have company in the press box.
Yes, I saw him.
You know him?
Sure, I know him. His name is Anthony Cushing.
Where did you meet him?
I met him at the airport last week when I drove Kate down to meet Isabel.
What's he doing in Bellhaven?
You're a good reporter, Faye. You find out. I gotta go. They're waiting for Mr. Wakefield.
Gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
The following is a paid dramatization.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
That's for you, dear. They're getting impatient.
That's the way it used to be. All my friends out there.
Ah, they still are your friends.
Roots. That's what's important. We have roots here, Catherine. All the Wakefields have. I tried to teach Tom that.
He just wasn't ready to settle down.
Maybe someday this town will know the real truth about him.
I think we'd better get out of the car now, Dad.
And don't forget what I told you, Catherine. Tom didn't destroy himself. Someone wanted him gone.
Dad, you weren't going to think about that now.
I never said that. I said I would not dedicate the land I'm giving to Tom's memory. You've all convinced me. I won't give them a chance to talk again. But he'll be up on that platform beside me just as much as if he were alive.
Okay, Mr. Wakefield, are you ready?
Yes, I am, David. Oh, where's that damn bell?
Oh, you didn't bring it.
Man gets used to a thing like that. Oh, here.
Well, I'll keep it in my bag.
My chair, David?
Right here, sir.
I'm not going to use it on the platform. They've got the rail for me. And I'm going to stand up.
How's the crowd?
Full house, Mr. Wakefield.
Isabel here?
Front row left. Kate, your sister Joy and her family are here down front in the middle.
Oh, good. They got back in time.
David, you've got somebody to take down my speech.
Yes, sir. And we can adjust the copy we have at the office.
Forget that copy. I want you to take down exactly what I say today. You understand?
Yes, sir. All right. Here we go, sir. Now, I'll pull the wheelchair nearer.
Kate?
Tony.
I'm staying for the speeches.
Oh, that's good.
I just want you to know where I'm sitting. I'm right in the front row. Is there anything I can do to help?
Oh, not a thing now. David's got everything arranged.
Uh-huh.
They're just getting Dad up on the platform.
You look much happier than when I met you this morning.
Oh, I am. It's like a different day.
I'm looking forward to meeting Mr. Wakefield.
You will, after the ceremony.
Your aunt has invited me back to have lunch with you.
Oh, wonderful.
I wouldn't miss it. I understand he's quite a guy, your father-in-law.
He's a fine man. I've never been more proud of him than today.
Catherine?
I'll see you later, Kate. Good luck.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. All right, Dad.
Who was that man you were talking to?
His name's Anthony Cushing.
I'm out of touch. I don't remember him.
He comes from the city.
Oh? Friend of yours?
Actually, a friend of Isabel's.
Tommy Rot. She could be his mother.
You tell Isabel that and you're in for trouble, Dad. Anyhow, you will meet him later. He's coming to lunch.
I wouldn't say he was your type either, Catherine.
That's for you, Dad.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day. The longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical yet so effective.
You're back. I thought we'd lost you, Mr. Cushing.
Oh, no. Thank you for holding a seat for me.
David will be joining us in a minute. He's my boss, the assistant editor of the Dispatch.
I see.
He's out there helping Kate. She needs it today, poor thing.
She looks very capable to me.
She has to be, with Mr. Wakefield on her hands. I really don't know why he's speaking today.
Why not?
He's just going to stand up there and ramble on and on about his son, Tom.
He doesn't look as if he'd ramble about anything.
I have a copy of his speech, Mr. Cushing. That's why this is all such a bore.
Well, at least enjoy the day. It's a very pleasant one.
There they come now. Poor Kate. You know, she was married to Mr. Wakefield's son.
Yes.
And was that something? Little Kate Higgins from Spruce Street. I knew her in school. Her father couldn't even keep a job.
Well, I've had that trouble myself.
You? I don't believe it, Mr. Cushing. You radiate success.
Oh, well.
Anyhow, Kate married the golden boy, the catch of Bellhaven. But Tom just turned out to be a no-good guy. They found his boat floating off some godforsaken island in Maine. No Tom. The Wakefields claim it was an accident, but I don't believe it. Tom took the only way out. Are you married, Mr. Cushing?
Oh, well, like success, you have to define the term.
You don't give much, do you?
Well, he's made it. Hello, Tony.
Hello, David.
We got him here. Doesn't the old man look great?
Yeah.
You know, you don't realize how tall he is until he stands up.
The Wakefield men are good looking. You have to have them that.
Thank you. Thank you, all of you. My neighbors, my dear friends, my fellow townspeople, I can't tell you what it means to me to stand here before you today. I want to open this great bicentennial era by telling you first that I am giving 600 acres of land, for wildlife preservation.
What's the matter with him?
He's choked up.
I had intended that this fine land... I intend that this fine land is...
give him time.
This memorial to... this wildlife sanctuary...
Sloan, that man's not well.
He's trying to get him to sit down.
Yeah.
Oh, I was not going to talk about...
memorial.
He's falling.
Stand back, everybody.
Stand back.
Keep them back. There's more ambulance. Come on. Don't let them up on this platform.
Everybody, please stand back.
He is breathing, Kate. He's got a pulse. Now stand back, everybody, please. Kate.
Thank you, Tony.
Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be.
Every woman likes to know she's the best she can be, so take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from two personal formulas. Shampoo formula, our conditioning formula, is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra-rich cream formula is the one hairdressers use, because no laboratory today has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Ladies, good day. William Makepeace Thackeray here, author of this novel. I am, I confess, in somewhat poor humor today. To rain dampens my spirits. Should some of my listeners be a bit vaporish as well, let us hope our friend Rebecca Sharp will restore us. Our young ladies are dressing for dinner, their first night home from boarding school. Ah, poor Becky earns but two dresses, both hand-me-downs. Mended, patched. Which is she to wear?
Which am I to wear?
Neither.
Oh, am I to go down in the petticoat?
You're to go down in this green sprigged muslin that matches your green eyes. It's yours.
Emily, you must stop giving me things and I must stop accepting.
Aren't we best friends? Put it on. It'll fit exactly.
Oh, but I can't give you anything.
You can give me a sister. You can marry Joe's. Oh, Becky, have you thought upon it enough?
I've thought of nothing else since you said it.
Well, what have you thought? Oh, say you've decided to marry him.
Oh, dear Emmy, it will be Mr. Joe's who decides that.
But you would, if he asked.
If. The biggest word in the whole dictionary.
He will ask if you flirt with him. I doubt any girl ever has. He's so shy and stammers when he's nervous, and he's always nervous with girls and runs away, and he's so... You don't like me to say it, but he is, well, fleshy.
Oh, Amelia, I've said I like big men. Oh, such a pretty dress.
You see, fits exactly. You shall have other dresses, too, and bonnets.
Oh, no, you can't say you've outgrown your bonnet.
We'll see. Your eyes look so green.
Oh, I wonder, does Mr. Joseph like green eyes?
Who doesn't?
Emmy, What shall I talk with him about?
Your father taught you to talk with anyone. You said so. Oh,
I must be very quiet so as not to alarm him. And I must be very interested in India.
Oh, yes. He likes to talk about India. Are we ready? Come, let's go down.
Oh, no, 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 my hair. I can't manage it. It's dreadful.
Shall I curl it round my finger for you?
Oh, please. Thank you. And I will curl...
Curl what?
Never mind.
Dear listeners, let us hear Becky finish in her mind that not finished sentence.
And I will curl Mr. Joseph Sedley right round my little finger.
Done still. The roly-poly subject of the conversation is poking at the fire, which takes the chill off this wretched rainy weather as he anticipates his second meeting with a certain young lady, the while muttering to himself.
Miss Sharp said to Emma, I heard her, I did. He's very handsome. By George, she said it. Handsome? Yes, indeed. Does she really think it? Or is she making game of me? I do bear a bit too much weight. Blast it, to give myself a waist, I've tried every girth, stay, and waistband ever invented. Does she think me handsome? Confound it! I will not stammer when she comes down. Not!
To say, poor Joseph? I think not. True, his bout causes him much anxious thoughts. Now and again, he makes a desperate attempt to be rid of his superabundant fat. But indolence and love of good living speedily get the better of him, and he is again at his three gigantic meals a day, his bottles of wine. A glass won't suffice. Joseph Sedley, with all his extra pounds, is as vain as a girl. If Miss Rebecca can get the better of him at her first entrance into London life, she is of extraordinary cleverness. Hark now, the young ladies are descending the stairs. Whispers Becky.
Emmy, feel my heart, how it beats.
Now they make their entrance into the drawing room. Rebecca, timid as a fawn, holding her green eyes downward, her pretty dress, her bare shoulders, making her the picture of unprotected innocence. The sight would dazzle any man. Joseph, dazzled, turns away, clatters with poker and tongs, redder face, twisted of tongue.
Oh, Mr. Joseph, how good of you to tend the fire. We were very chill upstairs.
What a formidably cold weather, by Jove.
Yes, but do stop poking. Such a noise. Where are Mama and Papa?
Mother dressing. Father not home from stock exchange. Yes, capital.
Oh, well, we shall have time to talk then. I so want to hear about India.
India? Oh, splendid continent, India.
Your sister tells me you were with the East India Company's civil service.
Collector in Bodhiwala, Bengal.
Oh, an honorable post, as everyone knows.
Yes, indeed. Splendid snipe shooting in Bodhiwala.
Oh, my father did love to snipe shoot.
You don't say.
Are there truly tigers in India?
Flushed a tiger many's the time myself.
You didn't.
Did?
Amelia, did you hear how brave your brother is?
He has lots of tales about tigers and horrid snakes and bulbuls.
Bulbuls? Oh, what is a bulbul, Mr. Jones? Another dangerous beast?
Bird.
Bird?
Nothing but a silly bird, Becky.
Oh, but we have none of that name here, and I'm very glad you hear of bulbuls. So interesting.
Yes.
Mr. Jones, did you ever ride an elephant?
Ever? That's a good one. Rode elephants all the time.
Oh, I never before knew anyone who... Oh, my, those great beasts and you. Oh, my... I am so proud to make your acquaintance.
Jolly good, yes, yes.
Mr. Jones, were there snake charmers there?
Yes, yes, yes. Play flutes. Tootle, tootle. By George, those slimy snakes. Can't think of their names. Cobras.
Oh.
Yes. Devilish clever fellows. Snake charmers. Tootle, tootle. Tootle, tootle.
You make me see them. Oh, do tell me about anything.
Went on tiger hunt. Riding elephants, you understand?
Oh, yes.
Very dangerous sport, tiger hunt.
Oh.
The mahout was pulled
Sir,
off...
Oh, please, excuse me. What is a mahout?
Elephant driver. Trains elephants.
Thank you. Please, go on.
Mahout pulled off seat by infuriated tiger. Whoosh. Beast came out.
Oh.
Shot him. Bang. Dead. One shot.
Oh, Mr. Joseph, I beg you for your dear mother's sake, for the sake of all of your friends, and if I may be so bold, include myself. When you return to India, promise never to venture on one of those horrid, dangerous tiger hunts again.
Pooh, Miss Sharp. Danger makes sport pleasanter, by Jove. Bang, bang. Toodle, toodle. Good gad, not to worry, Miss Rebecca. Jolly good fun.
Ladies, did you hear? No, no, I don't refer to Joseph's lies. But for your information, he was never but once on a tiger hunt when he was half killed, not by the tiger, by fright. Now I ask again, did you hear by actual count for 32 words Joseph did not stammer? Oh, you didn't notice. Ladies, please, I exhort you to pay closer attention. Every word I recount is of the utmost importance. Well, almost every word. In any case, can we not conclude Becky has won the second skirmish with Joe's? Put him at his elephantine ease. Tomorrow I will be, as I am now, your servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Studio has been brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers. This is a Serial Network.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life, brought to you by the O-Cedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss.
The following is a paid dramatization.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an O-Cedar Angler Broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. O-Cedar Angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
O-Cedar makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. O-Cedar makes your life easier.
Well, I finished the dishes. Why don't you sit down on the porch where it's cooler?
No, it's cooler in the house.
That part of the paper?
Sure. Which part?
No, give me the back part. I'll do the crossword.
There you go.
Oh, thank you, dear. You know something? I love you.
I love you, too, honey. What brought that on?
Where you're sitting. The back of your head. You do have the nicest shaped head, dear. I think that's what I first fell in love with. Back of your head.
Would you like the front of my hand?
Sure. Swivel it around, I'll give it a kiss.
Uh-huh.
You're cute, you really are.
I am cute, there's no doubt about that.
Well, now to find a pencil. Number one across five letters, a river in New Zealand. Oh, I hate those. Have you got a pencil?
No.
There's one on the desk. We have millions of pencils and cheap ballpoint pens around here until you want one.
Boy, things are certainly a mess in the Middle East.
This desk is a mess, too. I'm going to clean it out tomorrow.
I'd hate to be in Kissinger's shoes.
I'm not worried about his shoes. I worry about his stomach. I don't know how he does it, flitting from country to country, eating all those different foods, having to drink, proposing toasts, not getting enough sleep. Not a single pencil in this desk, you know. Not a single... I'll get it. Damn right. Sounds like long distance. Hello? Yes? Yes, he is. He's right here. Hold on.
Well, for me?
Yes. Mexico City. Mexico City. Who do we know in Mexico City?
Yeah, hello. Yes, it is. Hello? Oh, fine. How are you? ¿Cómo está usted?
Where's it?
Yes, I did this afternoon.
Where's it?
Hold on. It's business, our agent in Mexico.
Oh.
Hello. Listen, Carlos, Mr. Muzio called and said he didn't get the quotes on those two double disc refiners. Yeah. Well, what did you give him? Well, you better give the figures to me because Bradley's flying down tomorrow and he... Fine. Hold on. I haven't got a pencil. Yeah, honey.
Yes?
Get me a pencil. A pencil.
A pencil? I can't find a pencil. I've been looking for one to do my crossword puzzle.
Well, find something. This guy's calling from Mexico City.
I know that. I'm not a magician. I can't conjure a pencil up out of thin air.
Look in the desk. Look in the
I'm
desk.
I'm looking in the desk. All I can find are ballpoint pens with no ink. Where do we keep this?
Hello, Carlos. Hold on. We're trying to find something to write with around here. Hold on. Did you find one? Where are you?
I'm in the kitchen.
What are you doing in the kitchen? I asked you to find me
I'm trying to find a pencil.
A pencil or a pen or anything.
Will you take your shirt on? I'm trying to find something.
Look in the desk.
I'm looking in the desk.
Hello, Carlos. I'm sorry. How's everything down there? How about the Gonzalez deal?
In the desk. I've looked in my purse. I've looked in the kitchen. I simply cannot find anything.
We've got hundreds of pencils in the desk.
Well, they've disappeared. I can't find a single one, and you don't need to glare at me. I'm racing around trying to find something.
The man is calling from Mexico City.
I know the man is calling from Mexico City. I don't care if he's calling from the moon. I still cannot find a pencil.
Well, did you look in the window still?
Yes, I looked in the
window. Did you look in the box?
Yes, I looked
in the bag. How about over there on the ledge?
I looked there, too. Yes, I did. I don't know how things can disappear.
Hello, Carlos?
Please,
hold on. Okay, I'll be right with you. Now, why is it you can spend 5 hours playing bridge, but you can't spend 5 minutes at home organizing an efficient system for running a house?
Find your own pencil.
I will. There has to be a pencil in this desk. Of course, it just happens to be important business. It's just my job, that's all. If I don't have a job, we don't eat.
Oh, I think we get something to eat. I can always go home to Mother. Even your parents might feed us for a while. Children and I could go to work, washing dishes, cleaning house, shining shoes.
Can't find a pencil.
Selling flowers.
Here's one right on top of the desk. For the love of Mike, why don't you use your eyes? Hello? Carlos? Yeah, I found a pencil. I'm all set now. Hold on. I haven't anything to write on. Hold on. Look, you might just be a little help instead of sitting there reading the newspaper. There's supposed to be a pencil and a scratch pad at the telephone stand at all times. We've gone through this a million times. Hello, Carlos. I'm all set, yeah. I can't find any papers, so I'll scribble on the back of this old envelope. hold on, Carlos. This pencil is busted. The point is busted on this pencil.
I know. I noticed that before with my own little eyes.
Look!
That's why I didn't give it to you.
Yes, sweetheart. I blew my stack and I'm sorry, but please be mad at me 5 minutes from now, okay? This is business. It is important. The guy's calling from Mexico.
Oh, all right.
Look upstairs on the bureau. Look in Debbie's room.
All right.
Hello, Carlos. Can you hang on?
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant, proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Pencil.
What is it?
A pencil, a pen, anything. I can't find a thing to write with at our house.
What's the matter? Where's your old man?
He's on the phone, long distance to Mexico City. It's business. Oh. He's got to write down a lot of figures.
Want a pencil or a pen? I'll look in my purse.
Well, you ought to keep a pencil right by the telephone.
Well, I try, but somebody always takes it.
Aha, then you do what I did. Come on in here.
What?
Take a look at this. I got fed up with no pencil by the telephone, and I got myself a chain and chained a pencil to the telephone. And where is the pencil that is supposed to be chained by this phone? Evie!
Oh, look, Fred, not
if
right.
There's no pencil chained to the phone. I suppose somebody unchained it and don't look at me.
Look, Evie, Fred, please,
here,
I'm in a hurry.
Take my pen. I couldn't find a pencil.
Thank you. I'll bring him right back. But come on over, then we'll play some bridge.
What did I say to you, Evie, when I got that chain and fastened the pencil onto it?
I don't know what you said to me then, Fred, but I know what I'm going to say to you now.
Well, I tell you, Carlos, why don't I call you back from the office first thing in the morning? Yeah. Well, I don't know. My wife went over to the neighbors to get something to write with, and I don't know what happened, but...
I got it. Evie gave me her pen. Yes.
Carlos. Okay, let her roll. I got a pen.
You ran all the way over and all the way back.
Yeah. Okay, Carlos. Fine. I'll talk to you in the morning, then. Adios.
Wait a minute, after all we got through, and I'm going to use the pen?
They're going out to dinner. I can hear his wife yelling at him in the background to hurry up. She sounded pretty mad.
Oh, honestly.
Listen, I thought the last time we had this problem, you went down and bought a box of pencils.
I did. I do not know where they disappear to. I can never find the good scissors. I can never find the yardstick. Yesterday I looked all over for the scotch tape. We have 3 hammers. I cannot find a one.
The mysteries of life, huh? Say, honey, I really am sorry. I was kind of nasty to you.
I'm used to you now, dear. The fact is, I think you're kind of funny when you get mad. I mean, I have to laugh.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's either that or kill you. Not really, darling. That crack about my playing bridge all the time. My bridge club meets once a month.
Yeah, I know. I said I was unpleasant, and I'm sorry.
Well, I wasn't very nice either. Well, you should have heard Fred and Evie. You know, Fred really is very difficult. I like him, but I'd hate to live with him.
Fred is difficult. I think Evie's impossible. I mean, I like her, too, but golly, oh, no, I couldn't live with that temper.
Oh, honey.
Hey, shut up. Here they are.
Hi.
Hello.
I got the card table. Let's play some bridge, Evie.
Oh, I will if you and I are partners. I'm not speaking to Fred.
Oh, now, look, let's forget it. I feel I started the whole thing.
Well, you heard him bellowing about the pencil taken off the chain on the telephone. And who, it turns out, do you think took the pencil off the chain?
Okay.
Oh, come on now. Let's forget all that. Cut for a deal. Put the chairs, honey. We're taking you boys on. Jack of spades, 3 of hearts. Your deal, Evie. Fred, this isn't very good light. You want to pull that lamp over a bit, dear?
Oh, sure.
I made a cake today. We can put on some coffee later.
Please do not pick up your cards until the dealer has finished dealing.
Oh, 1,000 pardons, Madam Dealer.
Oh, Evie. Come on now, smile. Let's enjoy the evening, huh?
6 spades.
6 spades? You're opening with 6 spades? I haven't even arranged my hand. 6 spades.
6 spades.
I don't even know what I've got. But double. I'm going to double.
I'll say 7 spades, Evie.
7?
Mm-hmm.
You're bidding a grand slam just like that? Oh, boy. Double.
Redouble.
I've got a feeling we're going to lose this evening, old boy.
I got a feeling we've already lost.
Evie, we need your pen to keep score, I'm afraid.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, now, what did I do with it?
Well, I handed it to you, didn't I? Did I set it down over there?
Well, I thought I put it in my purse, but...
Oh, now, look, it can't have gone far. Let's look around.
Oh, look in your pocket.
No, we were just saying, how can things just disappear?
I know.
things in life has been brought to you by Final Net. Gives your hair a great long-lasting hold. This is the Serial Network.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be.
Every woman likes to know she's the best she can be, so take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from two personal formulas. Shampoo formula or conditioning formula is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra-rich cream formula is the one hairdressers use, because no laboratory today has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Don't you ever leave the hospital, Jason? It's 10 after 6.
Oh, I'll find my way home eventually, but I have some morale calls to make first. One on a patient and one on my father.
Well, Robert's all right, isn't he?
He's lonely. And he's spoiled. He misses Lynn's pampering, and he misses being able to pamper Caroline. Aren't you going to sit down?
Thanks. Am I interrupting anything important?
I wish you were. My own fault. I should have taken most of this stuff home with me.
Uneasy lies the head that wears a crown.
Well, I'm afraid my grandiose title is very misleading. Chief of Medical Services. You'd think the job had something to do with medicine, wouldn't you?
You would if you didn't know much about hospitals.
Yeah, I remember when I was a boy, I used to feel sorry for Dad because he brought home so much paperwork. And I decided that the law was not for me. I was going to be a doctor. No paperwork. Ha ha. Well, what's on your mind, Angela?
Emily, of course.
Oh.
Have you talked to her about having a checkup?
Oh, yes, more than once. Our most recent discussion, if you can call it that, was last night.
I gather it didn't go too well.
Well, I wouldn't say it went well at all. Em said she was tired of Robert and you and me pushing her.
Well, look, I can understand her resenting my interference.
No, Angela, you did not interfere. After all, you are Emily's sister.
Well, I do hope Emily realizes that anything I did came out of love.
Yes, I'm sure she will, in time.
But not right now.
Well, her last words on the physical examination were negative, to say the least. She announced that she'd be just fine if we'd just all leave her alone.
Do you think that's true?
No.
Jason, supposing Emily were just a patient who walked in off the street, not the woman you've been married to for 20 years. Based on what you know right now, what would your diagnosis be?
Oh, Angela, that's not a real question.
Well, I think it is. Wouldn't you say that episodes of physical violence represent a major behavioral change?
Well, I think that's a pretty strong term, Angela.
Smashing an ashtray, then trying to conceal the fact, slapping Susie?
All right. All right, both episodes are completely out of character.
If you won't come up with a diagnosis, I will. Emily has mentioned casually that she hasn't been sleeping well. She has no appetite.
All right, Angela. The typical pattern of an incipient nervous breakdown.
Are we just going to stand by and watch it happen?
If it is a nervous breakdown coming on, there'll be other developments. At the moment, Emily won't cooperate at all. She told me just last night. There's nothing to worry about right now.
But you can't go by her words when her actions flatly contradict them.
What do you mean?
Why did Emily lie about breaking the ashtray?
Well, Probably she was ashamed of herself. Nobody likes to give way to something as trivial as an argument with the dry cleaner.
Well, I don't think that's the explanation, Jason. I think Emily lied because she's already worried.
Well, maybe you're right, Angela. I don't know.
So we've just gone around in a circle. We'll be there when Emily needs us.
Angela, if you have any other suggestions, I'll be happy to listen to them. Right now, I want to look in on Mrs. McLaughlin.
I don't think I'll go in with you. I've seen her twice today.
She's gotten to be quite an expert on her problem.
They all do.
And she always asks me what her platelet count is.
Do you tell her?
Yes. I know she can guess from the numbers how much time she has left. But if she can take the truth, I'm not going to deprive her of her dignity as a human being.
Mm-hmm. You know something, Jason? I knew it, but I was too ladylike to say it straight out when I introduced you to Emily.
What's that?
You're one hell of a man.
Hello, Jason.
Hi, Dad.
Come on in. Let's sit down in the library, huh? It's at least 10 degrees cooler than the living room, and it also houses the bar these days.
I don't suppose you're using the dining room much, huh?
Oh, hardly. I walk through it to get to the kitchen in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since the women deserted me, I've been eating at the club most of the time. Well, since you're 20 minutes late, I've already started on a brandy and soda. You care to join me?
Doesn't sound very cooling.
Mix whatever you like for yourself, but don't prescribe for the members of your own family.
Mm-hmm. Dad, I'm afraid that's just what I've been guilty of doing.
Oh, well, I thought that in the medical fraternity they took away your stethoscope for that sort of thing.
Well, I wasn't prescribing, but I did let Angela talk me into making a very snap diagnosis of Emily.
Well, I'd have done so myself if I'd known enough medicine to bring it off.
Well, I just didn't like what I heard myself saying, Dad. I think Em is very close to a nervous breakdown.
Oh, no. Are you certain?
Well, no. But based on what we know, it seems more probable than any other hypothesis.
Hello? Oh, yes, speaking operator. It's Switzerland.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Say hello for all of us, will you?
You know, your stepmother is truly a creature of extremes, either a postcard or a transatlantic call.
Robert, darling, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Robert, and don't try to talk when I'm talking, dear. It does something funny to the connection.
Caroline, I've been married to you long enough to learn to wait for a pause and then leap into it.
We couldn't be better, if that's what you were asking. I'll put Lynn on in a minute.
I'm delighted to hear that you both haven't fallen into a crevasse or been buried in an avalanche. Your last postcard arrived about a week ago.
If I'd been bored, I'd have written you a lot of long letters, dear. But you wouldn't believe the social life here. Last night, we went to a party for the president of that South American country that just had a revolution. What's his name? Well, at any rate, he barely escaped. He just got to Switzerland last week with $12 million in gold and his wife and children.
Yeah, look, when are we going to reunite this family?
I think you ought to talk to Lynn about that. Stay well, dear, and I'll see you soon.
Yeah, but Caroline, Caroline will see me soon.
Hi, Dad.
Hello, dear. Have you really been enjoying yourself?
I certainly have. At $4 a minute, I'm not even going to try to describe summer skiing. It's just beautiful. And when we come home, I'll spend hours telling you about it.
Which brings up an interesting question. Just when are you coming home?
Oh, Dad, I've been having so much fun that I've almost forgotten why I wanted to get away. I want to ski some trails that are way over my head and look at the sunsets and breathe air that's never been used by an automobile. Oh, I'd like to stay here forever, but I'll settle for 2 more weeks.
Two more weeks?
Oh, I thought of a wonderful way to economize, Dad. We won't go anywhere else. We'll stay right in San Maritz the whole time and then come straight home. Oh, it would mean an awful lot to both of us, Dad. Caroline's nodding her head.
Oh, well, if it's all right with Caroline, 2 more weeks.
Oh, you're an angel. Will let you know what plane to meet.
All right, fine, dear. And tell Caroline that if she's on an economy wave, she can cable me.
Will do.
Oh, Jason's here. He says hello to both of you.
Well, give him our love. See you in 2 weeks.
Goodbye, dear.
Well, they're staying 2 more weeks, huh?
Well, after what Lynn's been through, how could I refuse?
2 more weeks? I knew he'd say yes if we both asked him.
All I did was nod when you poked me.
Well, it worked. 2 more weeks and Kurt Rogers will propose.
I know it. And you're going to accept, I assume.
I'm going to say yes so fast it'll make his head swim.
Sure you found the right man?
Positive.
Then why didn't you even mention him to your father?
To Hold has been brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers. This is the Serial Network, a division of DCA Productions.